Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
I'm so glad to have you back with us, but grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to jump into a series. We don't know how long that this is going to last, but it's going to focus on what this ancient book of wisdom has for us in our lives, as well as what it can teach us about leadership. So Proverbs chapter 1, today we're going to focus on the need. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, it simply reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Now, Solomon did not write every single proverb that is in here, but clearly he has been attributed the authorship of the majority of these writings. And if you step back and you look at Solomon's history, it's a less than stellar beginning. We know through David's sin with Bathsheba and his, murder by default, and how the child that was conceived through that adultery did not live. Yet when David married Bathsheba, the son that was birthed to him through her was Solomon. So, as David continued to get older, Solomon faced a very specific challenge to the throne by his brother Adonijah. This was the eldest of the sons that were still living from David. And what he did is David was still not yet dead. So Adonijah was making this claim to usurp his father's throne. And he did so by allying himself with Joab, David's commanding general, and Abiathar, the priest, and tried to make a political power play in order to become the king. When David discovered that, he had Solomon anointed as king. It was announced all across. And then Adonijah pretty much just pleaded for mercy before Solomon, because in that day, if you challenged the throne in that way, you would lose your life. And Solomon, despite that plea for mercy, said, Adonijah, I'm going to grant that to you if you will prove yourself a worthy man. Adonijah swore that oath, and then he was allowed to return home, and Solomon proceeded forward as king. Once David had died, Adonijah turned back from that oath. We see all of this in 1 Kings chapters 1, 2, and 3. And what he did is he actually tricked Solomon's mother into assisting in this, where he asked for the hand of David's concubine in marriage. You take the eldest son, pair that with the concubine of the dead king, and he now has a major political stake. And Solomon dealt with this harshly. Both the commanding general, the priest, and Adonijah all suffered. So with this tumultuous reign, as it has started for Solomon, we see in 1 Kings chapter 3 that God comes to him and offers him, three different things. He says that, I will offer you a long life, I will offer you incredible riches, and I will offer you the authority over your enemies. And Solomon instead said, I would rather have an understanding mind to govern. That pleased God. And then obviously we know that Solomon was given the riches, he was given the authority, he was given the power, he was given peace. But notice this phrasing that Solomon, in this request to God, says, I want an understanding mind. I want wisdom. And what do we need to live in our daily lives? Wisdom. What is the tagline of everything that we talk about here in Defined by Moments? How you live determines how you lead. If we need wisdom for our lives, then we're going to need wisdom as leaders. And Solomon lays it out on the table for us. So that is a bit about the author of who this is. We see that he didn't have the greatest of beginnings. We see that he really had some struggles, which is why he was putting to the Lord, I need this wisdom. I need this understanding mind. And if this man, who would be considered the wisest of all, asked for wisdom, then how much would we need in turn to ask God for wisdom? So we see the author But let's take this passage and let's start to look at two different things. We're going to look at the audience and we're going to look at the aim. We're going to get to those separately, but let's deal with the audience first. And let's drop down to verse 4. So, to give prudence, here it is, to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The next verse, 5, let the wise, so there's the third group, let the wise hear and increase learning. So the simple, the youthful, and the wise, that's the intended audience of what we have with Proverbs. I do want to make sure that you understand something here. There is no mention whatsoever of demographics. Nothing about race, nothing about religion, nothing about social status, nothing about gender. It is simply the simple, the youthful, and the wise. All of those categories are assumed under these three. Every single person listening to this will be either simple, they will be youthful, or they will be wise. The question that I'm going to put to you is which audience best describes you? We'll come back to that at the end. But the simple, very simply, are described as naive, silly, or inclined to folly. The Hebrew word, I absolutely love the root of this, as it references being spacious, wide open, and I love this, figuratively, roomy. So picture someone that is mentally roomy. When we take that, this is not a compliment. Someone that is wise, lacks discernment, they believe anything. And in this imagery here of mental roominess, it means that they will jump from one thought to the other. They're not grounded. They're not anchored. There's no solid footing. That means as the newest fad comes, they go that way. The simple are easily carried away. Picture a leaf that falls from a tree and lands in a creek. What does it do? It goes with the flow. That's the simple. The second piece here is the youthful audience. Very simply, this is not someone that's 5 years old. This is a metaphor for those that lack experience and they simply do not know any better. These individuals, they need seasoning. They need experience so that they can grow and develop and that they earn a reputation where they are no longer gauged by a lack of experience. The Proverbs that Solomon is going to be offering over these next multiple chapters is that opportunity for them to grow. But they have to be willing to hear, and they have to be willing to heed. So our first audience is the naive, mentally roomy. Our second audience is youthful, those that simply lack experience. But third, the wise group. This is the one that we all want to join. We do not want to be associated as being naive. We all at some point are youthful. We lack experience, but we want to get to this one, which is the wise audience. The terminology here means someone that is skillful in administration. Not only have they learned, not only have they applied that knowledge, but they continue to learn and grow daily. The wise understand a very important point here, that while they may know more than others, there is still more that they can learn. That's the group that we want to be in. So Solomon, in writing to this, go back to what he said to the Lord. He's king. He is the civil authority in all of Israel. Yet when God comes to him and says, what do you want? He says, I need understanding. That is at this point showing that Solomon is reflecting this aspect of a wise audience. He knows that he has more to learn. He knows that he needs more. So my question to you is, are you simple? Are you youthful? Or are you wise? Now, you are going to be very quick to answer that. We all are. And we like to think, oh, yes, I fall into the wise category. Well, let me shift this question. If your closest friends, if your closest family members, if your closest colleagues would answer that question, not to you, but to someone that they knew would never tell you the reality of their answer, would it match what you think? If the answer is no, then maybe you need to reevaluate the way that you have considered yourself here. So we see the author. We see his audience. Now let's look at his aim. My friends, there is no doubt whatsoever left in this opening section about the purpose of this book. Most authors in an introduction will go through a couple of pages and then get you to the thesis, and then here's the big why. Well, Solomon does not offer anything simple here. He makes it a very complex form, and he puts it in a clear way, though. It's complexity, but it's clear. The way that he does it is that there are five to statements in here. You will see that, to know, to receive. And there are also a couple of statements here where that to is not explicitly stated, but it is implied. So let's read verses 2 through 6, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Now he gets to his aim. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. There it is. Solomon has laid it out for us that we need to know wisdom and instruction, that we need to understand the words of insight. And interestingly enough, what we see there in the latter part of verse 2, that aspect of understand, that is the same Hebrew word that we see again in verse 6. So Solomon is using understand here as a bookend at the beginning and at the end. And we'll get into that a little bit more in just a second. But he's laid this out for us. This is not just words on a page. This is not just some biography that he's writing. This is not just, you know, neat little riddles for us to be able to go, oh, that was well said. No, these have practical meaning in our life. They have an opportunity to shape us, not just so that there's external conformity, but so that we turn inward and look at our hearts and see what needs to change, and that change can only come through the gift of grace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We'll talk about that in our second issue when we get to verse 7, but we're not going to get there today. So let's back up and let's look at each of these. Verse 2, where he says to know wisdom, I would take that and call it an awareness. This term is its most basic. This is not someone that, you know, has just wrestled with things and has a firm grasp on it. They are simply aware of the wisdom. They are aware of the knowledge, but they haven't done anything with it. Solomon goes to the next step. So it's not just to know, but it's to understand there in verse 2. So we've moved from the awareness to now where we have an application. The simple knowledge has become a direct application. That's applied in our daily lives. Why is that important? Because it demonstrates that we've just not heard the truth, but we've grasped its meaning and we've applied it. Verse 3, Solomon says, to receive instruction in wise dealing. This is acceptance. So if we are enacting the wisdom that we have heard, we are applying it, then that means that we have taken it into our possession. And in doing so, it becomes a belief that drives our behavior. We often, in our modern day world, want folks to change their behavior, and we don't worry about their beliefs. The only way that you can truly and effectively change a behavior is if the belief changes. It's a heart matter. And again, in our second episode, we'll get to that. So Solomon has said to know, to understand, to receive. The next piece is to give. This is the appropriation of that wisdom, where the opportunity for change is presented to both the simple and the youthful. If they adopt these beliefs and behaviors, then guess what happens? They become different people. True wisdom changes people. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we see that Solomon has laid out to know, to understand, to receive, to give. Then we're going to get to a couple of these that are not clearly stated as a to statement, but look at verse 5. Let the wise what? Hear. So this next aspect is the acknowledgement. These last two pieces are directed at the already wise. So foundationally, the wise already embrace the truth, but they also embrace the fact that there is much more for them to hear and to learn. My friends, if we want to learn, we have to listen. Our talking teaches us nothing. The good Lord gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. And what do we know in the New Testament there of James? Let every man be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. And then the last piece here in verse 5, it's not just let the wise hear, but it's also for them to increase. So we see that there is an adding. Hearing loses its value until we pair it with heeding. Again, that is directed at the wise, because those that are considered wise, those that are considered experienced, could have moments of pride where, well, I'll listen to you, but I'm still going to go my own way. And Solomon is going to challenge some of that through these proverbs that are there for life as well as for leading. So Solomon has produced for us a powerful work of wisdom. It's available to all. He's focusing on our daily lives because he understands how we live determines how that we lead. And every single person needs to heed these words that he has for us. If we're not careful, and if we do not choose wisely, then we're going to suffer the consequences of misery and heartache because we ignored the wisdom that is offered and that is available. As I said earlier, the first step is to be open and transparent with where you are right now. And if you cannot honestly assess where you stand compared to these principles of wisdom that we're going to get into, then you have no hope to learn from them and to grow from them. That is why Christ, in talking to the Pharisees in the New Testament, just reproached them for their pride, for their confidence, for their arrogance. Because what he was saying to them is you needed the attitude of humility, the attitude of dependence, the attitude of surrender. And that is where we are because Solomon has laid this out with his aim, but the audience is what makes the determination as to whether they're going to listen and then move forward. So two questions that I'm going to ask you in closing. The first one I've already put out there on the table. Which of those named audiences best describes you, truly and really describes you? Is it the simple, the youthful, or the wise? And then last, of the stated purposes, is there one that you need more than any others? Is it to know, to understand, to receive, to give, to hear, to increase? You need to have that question answered. Because in our next episode, when we turn to verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This foundational need is what makes verse 7 so critical for us. We will get to that next time. Thank you so much for listening to Divine by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future. You take care.